Welcome to Lead Pods, the official leadership podcast from USMB for pastors and church leaders, where our goal is to increase our impact together.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 3 of the USMB Lead Pods. We are just trucking along, cranking these episodes out. I'm having a lot of fun with this. I hope you are enjoying these episodes as well. If we haven't met yet, my name is Matt Ayersman, and this podcast is just a fun new project that we're working on together with the USMB family. So thank you again for listening. We got a great conversation today. I'm excited to share with you. Today I talked to Ben Connolly. He works for a really cool organization called Saturate. If you stay in tune with the USMB emails and Facebook posts and all that, you probably recognize his name. He has done quite a bit to help us out recently with various webinars and the Lead One events, and he's just a great guy that has a lot of great wisdom to share. So as we are still in this coronavirus season, again, I don't know exactly what it looks like wherever you live, but I'm sure things aren't 100% back to normal yet, even if they are slowly inching towards that, hopefully. But Ben wrote a great blog post that we referenced throughout the episode about leading well when no one can see you. And when you're home and you're not in the office, or maybe you are in the office but no one else is, or just in this weird season, sometimes it can be hard to know how to lead well. And so we talked quite a bit about church leadership in this episode, but of course, if you're not a pastor or if you don't work at a church, I think there's still a lot that we can learn from today's conversation. So no matter where you are today, I hope you find this helpful and enjoy this conversation. And after a quick break, we'll get right to my conversation with Ben Connolly.
MB Foundation provides biblical financial stewardship solutions to the Mennonite Brethren community. Inspired by 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19, we encourage and assist individuals, churches, and ministries to take hold of real life through generosity. We call that giving meaning to money. Our services include planned giving, loans, fund management, investment certificates, and stewardship education. With offices in Hillsboro, Kansas, and Fresno, California, we are ready to serve you. Learn more at www.mbfoundation.com or call us today at 1-800-551-1547. MB Foundation is pleased to partner with USMB to bring you this episode of Lead Pods.
All right, well, my guest today is Ben Connolly. Ben, I am excited to talk with you. I've seen your name pop up on all kinds of USMB webinars and cohorts and all kinds of things you've been doing. So it's good to finally meet you and put a face to the name I've been seeing on a bunch of emails. So Ben, for people who maybe don't know you or haven't had a chance to interact with you yet, can you give us a brief introduction of who you are and what you're doing these days?
Yeah, I'm happy to. And I'm glad to be on this newly forming podcast as well. I've been honored to be around the USMB world a lot for the last 18 months or so, and I've gotten to lead some of the Lead One events this past year. And yes, you're right, we got to do a webinar as COVID hit. So, but yeah, I planted a church in Fort Worth, Texas in 2009. Had been in ministry for about 10 years before that, so I'm right at about 20 years in local church ministry. This last year, stepped off staff in the church that I planted. Still an elder there, still in leadership there, but for the few years before that, in addition to pastoring the church, I had started leading a church planting residency through one of the organizations that our church was involved with, and the weighty burden, weighty joy, if I could say that, of both pastoring and leading church planters got to be too much to do both, and so. With elders and family, prayed and discerned that maybe I should step off staff. And so now I get to lead training for everyday disciples and group leaders and church planters through an organization called Saturate.
Cool. Awesome. So is church planting kind of your main goal, or what does your day-to-day interaction with churches look like?
Yeah, I can tell you what it was before we hit quarantine. Yes. Now we're learning what it looks like every single day differently.
Yes.
But yeah, essentially, Saturate is an organization that serves the church across the U.S. and even around the world. God's given us some favor in other countries as well. Around themes like gospel fluency, which I know we'll talk about, I think, in the next episode. Mm-hmm. How does the gospel apply to all of life? And then what does that mean for discipleship and mission and community not just mission overseas, but mission in our everyday lives. And for churches then, how do we plant churches that are focused on making new disciples, planting from the harvest is a term we use a lot. And so it really is, it's kind of, you know, if we think of everyday sisters and brothers, followers of Jesus, some group leaders, and then church planters, there's kind of three different types of Christian. Can I say that? Yeah. Three different types of leaders that we try to serve.
Gotcha. Very cool. Yeah, so you teed that up well. I know you've been talking a lot about gospel fluency, and I know you've been involved with a book project around that title and that theme. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit, but for a conversation today, I actually wanted to talk to you about a blog post that you wrote, and we'll post the link somewhere so that people listening can check it out if they want to. But the title was Leading Well, Even When No One Can See Us.
Yeah.
And you just mentioned that, you know, we're still in the middle of COVID season, and I don't know exactly when this released, but our lives are still very different. We were just kind of talking before we started recording that we're both at our homes right now. We both have kids running around, and both have, you know, we have trucks driving by and washing machines going right next to us. We're just in a world that is so different. And so, and one of the hard parts about this season that you wrote about is it's hard to know if you're leading well. How do you know if you're doing this well or not? And there's no real precedent for this, at least in our lifetime. So I think a lot of people, whether they're leaders at church or whether they're leaders in other ways, or maybe they're leading their family, we have no frame of reference for this season. So is that kind of what prompted this post, or what prompted it? Maybe just give us a quick rundown of what that blog was about.
Yeah, it was essentially prompted exactly by that. I was emailing with a pastor that we have, that I have some relationship with, and, you know, almost as like a obligatory last line of an email, I'm like, let me know if there's anything else I can do for you. Fully not expecting anyone to write back. And
that's risky, man. You never know.
Turns out it led to a blog post. No, but he wrote back just a couple minutes later and said, actually, I have a question for you. Can you help me know how I'm leading well when there's no playbook? Like you just mentioned, Matt, there's no playbook or litmus test. Essentially what he was asking is like, how do I know I'm leading well when I can't go near my people? And it really did. Like it was a strangely impactful question for me. And again, you know, I've been in pastoral ministry for two decades. And what I realized is it is so inherently people focused. It's, you know, I can't remember who said it, but the old joke, like if you're a shepherd, you should smell like the sheep, kind of thing. And like, that's impossible right now. We can't go near quote unquote our people, God's people, but I'm going to probably say our people a lot during this podcast. So, we can't go near our people, and we can't smell like sheep, and we can't be among them. And since it is such a people oriented in a good way, it's such a people oriented calling. How do we know we're leading well when we can't get any kind of affirmation, or when we can't get any kind of response? And so since that first question, I've had conversations with pastors going like, I hate preaching to a camera. Because I know it's serving, I hope that it's serving my people, our people, but I don't know if that's true. And, you know, then they get obsessed with how many Facebook Live views they have, and is that a family, or anyway, so it just feels like the normal metrics are out the window.
Right.
So that's kind of what led to this.
Yeah. And, you know, my wife is a teacher, and, you know, so it's, of course it's very relevant to churches, but, you know, teachers, like every industry is having to adjust, and really like everyone's kind of asking the same, no matter where we're working or what our day-to-day lives look like, we're, a lot of us are asking the same questions. So since there is no playbook, do you want to, like, how do we start to answer that question? What are some, I think in your post you had, what, six or seven kind of big questions you asked? I don't necessarily go through all of them right now, but what are some of the big things we should be considering?
Yeah, I think that there's an organizational side, like an outward facing ministry side of knowing we're leading well. And then I think one of the things that God is allowing in this season is there's also kind of a heart check for us on the kind of personal, where am I finding my satisfaction? What is, you know, where am I finding affirmation or approval in ministry? And so within that, you know, for our personal time when we can't when we can't be quote unquote with our people? What are we doing both to serve them, but also to do heart checks for ourselves? They're kind of two big categories, inward facing, outward facing.
Yeah. And part of what, again, I think that's part of the weird adjustment we're all getting used to is some people, not all, but some people have a lot more free time than they're used to.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the things you talked about was kind of being intentional about if you do have that extra time, be intentional about how you're spending it. So let's say if someone listening, again, who knows what things are like a couple week days or weeks in the future, but
yeah,
if
sure.
you have, you know, meetings that are canceled or their commute, they don't have to do a commute anymore.
Right.
What are some ways that we can maybe take advantage of that time?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. Just to affirm what you said, I think there's more free time. I also know that, like, I think some report that just came out this week said like 50 or 60% of pastors have said they're working more now than they did. And so it's this weird juxtaposition, right? Like, we have more free time, but we're finding more ways than we used to have to fill that free time. And so I think some of the question is, what are we filling it with? Because, you know, again, just take it back to a non-COVID season in normal time, if I can contrast COVID time versus normal time.
Yep.
You know, we have this conversation with the churches that we're seeing planted, going like, can you actually fill 40 hours a week? You know, everybody uses the pay the laborer worth his wages to justify a raise. But nobody likes to consider the other, like, if I have 12, 20 people in my church plant, you know, can I justify a worth his wage for 40 hours a week? But everybody would say, yeah, of course I can fill 40 hours. And then depending on how we're bent, we'll fill it with busy work and administration, or we'll spend hours reading on our website every month, or we'll call everyone in our church three or four times if we're kind of a shepherding bent, or we'll spend inordinate amount of times on our sermons for those 12 people. You know, it's good to prep for sermons. Don't hear me swinging the pendulum too far.
Sure.
But I wonder if some of us are doing the same thing now, if we're filling the free time just with busyness, with things that feel like we're accomplishing something, that may not move the actual ministry forward. And so I wonder if God might have us use some of this time to consider kind of our inner lives. If I can kind of be, you know, Benedictine and monk-like for a moment, can we become examples to the flock, which we're called to be, right? Mm-hmm. We become examples of the flock of abiding well, of turning to prayer more than, you know, creating a new web-based ministry or this kind of stuff that, yes, do what's needed, but then we can all fill the busyness with other things. Can we even, that's not easy for me. I'm a pretty driven guy who feels like I don't know what to do with myself if I'm not accomplishing anything. And so for me, it's even setting some disciplines to kind of go like, are there certain times in the day that we can just set for like pause in prayer, pause and be reflective, pause and abide a little bit, or use suddenly canceled meetings for the same thing.
Yeah. It sounds like you and I might be wired kind of similarly, because I think I struggle with maybe some of the same things you struggle with. And I know at our church, when all this came out, just like every other church, we're scrambling, trying to figure out what we're going to do. And I think we felt, I'll speak for myself. I felt a lot of pressure for us to, like you were saying, add a bunch of new things, make sure that our stuff looks better than it's ever looked, because more people might be watching, or like I felt that you know, human pressure to all of a sudden excel way more than we were excelling before.
I think
that's probably a pretty common thing that pastors are battling now. Hopefully that as this continues, there's some kind of rhythm or routine that we settle into. But I totally get how it'd be super easy to fall into that. We got to do more. You know, how do we fight that? Is that a personality thing, or do you think everyone battles that? How can we fight that?
Yeah, I think everyone's driven toward overwork or underwork, just depending on wiring and history and, you know, gifting and all that kind of stuff. So I think that those driven toward underwork might, you know, might spend a moment considering, like, am I serving my church well? Am I giving the free time that nobody can see me to make sure my people are connected somehow and communicated with and cared for? And, you know, just one example of that, I know several churches, probably several leaders who are listening to this have done something similar, but even just divided up their membership list among their elders or staff. And they are doing, you know, a regular check-in, and great. That's shepherding the flock. That's what we're called to do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, those who are those whose tendency is toward underwork might need to make sure that people are being connected and cared for, that staff and leaders, you know, whose roles were Sunday based or that kind of stuff, do they have a clear vision of what they're supposed to be doing right now? Mm-hmm. We have the opportunity to be on the front lines of discipleship and be engaged with our people more, during this season when our program in person kind of things are impossible. Mm-hmm. But that's not what you asked. So to get to the overwork side, like those of us who trend toward overwork, I think it's, you know, self-discipline and self-control are constant themes through the scriptures. You know, rules of life or daily offices or daily hours. Again, there's kind of some practices that in evangelical tradition in the West are kind of long forgotten, because they echo to something, you know, that the reformers moved us away from in some way. But there's something to that of kind of just, you know, crafting a day, or crafting a week or a month around like, okay, what truly is the highest priority here? And then just disciplining ourselves and using the time to form new habits.
Yeah, and that's a great transition, because you also talked about how all of us are just thrown off. Like, there is no routine right now. At least there wasn't for a while. Maybe we're starting to settle into one, but I think when there's just like a powerful disruption like this that just kind of scatters everything, it just, having a lack of routine, a lack of schedule, at least for some personality types, that just messes with their world. And you also wrote about Sabbath and how this, mm-hmm. this kind of season might tempt us to negate that and not give ourselves the rest that we need. Do you want to just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and interestingly, this I don't think is any more common than in normal time. Again, COVID time versus normal time. Mm-hmm. I think that it's just seen and felt more overtly in a more overt way. But I mean, gosh, like the blending of work hours and home hours, and the fact that we all have, you know, 10 ways of being communicated with on one device that's in our pocket, and you know, the blending in gray area of when does work stop and family life start, or work life balance, or work rest balance, or whatever you want to say, like that's, it didn't take a pandemic to show us that we're not great at turning things off. Right. But I mean, I don't know how you were, how listeners to this were, but I remember the first week of COVID, for me, I would stay up late, like just refreshing Twitter even, or the news sites, to be like, I don't want to go to bed, because what if I miss the one, like the one fact that'll help me understand this? And,
right.
And of course that never came. And so I ended up like staring at my screen between that and the plethora of Zoom calls that all of a sudden we started doing and that kind of stuff. Like my eyes were killing me by the end of every day, massive headaches and this kind of stuff. And what I realized is like, this is just an overt picture of the blend, the negative blend that's already happened in my life between work and rest. And I realize I don't really give myself fully to either of those. And so, yeah, setting some, you know, gosh, before electricity and certainly before iPhones and, of course, Androids for those who use those as well. Shout out to Android users. I just default to the iPhone. But, you know, long before that, like work had to end at sundown in the time when Sabbath was established, and in most of history. Like you can't work past then. And so you had family time around a candlelit, you know, house or cabin or, hut or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we've lost some of that. And so I do think like what you know, if a normal, if your church leadership or staff board or whatever it is, has said 40, 45, 50, whatever it is hours, hopefully it's 40 or 45 hours as a full-time job. And again, no one can see you. So no one can see if you're doing 20 or no one can see if you're doing 90. But our spouses can, and our kids feel it more than anyone, or our you know, family who lives with us, or our neighbors know. And so again, if we're called to be examples to the flock, then that means that just like Israel was willing to say, it is utterly illogical to cease working for a day a week. And sure, there's more fields to be plowed and seeds to be scattered at the end of every day, but sundown Saturdays hit daily and weekly. Could we become a model to the flock of going, all right, I'll set a 40, 45 hour a week schedule. I know I'm then working worth my wage. And then put the phone up or turn it off. And could we actually take Saturday, or maybe it's Monday, or, you know, whatever it is, to give the time to our kids who are home more and see whether we're, you know, distracted from them or giving them attention as well.
Yeah. The whole Sabbath thing is something, I mean, I'll be honest, I struggle with that. I work at a church, so my day off is Wednesdays. But it's just, it's very hard to have that discipline that turn yourself off, turn your brain, your work mind off. Mm-hmm. And unless you have some crazy insight that I don't have, there's not really a secret to mastering that. It's just discipline, right? Or am I missing the big secret key here?
I mean, it's discipline for sure. I think, you know, and we can bleed into the next episode on this too. I think there's a lot of heart and soul reasons that we just don't believe we can rest. Whether it's feeling like we have to earn someone's approval, or we're perfectionists and feel like we can never mess up, or somehow we're less in God's eyes or someone who matters eyes, or control. For me, it's control, and I feel like I need to be needed. And so why can't I rest? Well, what if someone needs me that day and somehow they're let down? And if I'm objective about it, there's never, ever once in you know, the decades I've been alive, there's never once been anything that has come up in a day that I've actually given myself, you know, through self-discipline, or more rightly through my wife, you know, being my self-discipline for me.
Yeah.
There's never been something that's come up that someone's world or some ministry thing or whatever actually did fall apart just because they couldn't reach me for 8 hours. But man, I feel like if I step away from my phone for 10 minutes, then that's probably going to be the moment that, you know, God, who has the whole world in his hands, calls me and is like, hey, you got to take care of this because I can't.
Man, we've got an emergency, man.
I need you. You're the only one. You know, come on, Batman. Right. The only one who can save Gotham right now.
Right.
It just isn't real. But through lies and deceit and, you know, an enemy outward, an enemy who's causes us to believe lies and distractions inward and in the world around us, like we tend to believe we have to be in control and we have to be perfect. And I think it's those kind of things. And for ministers, it's even harder. Like no one's going to tell us not to. Everyone affirms our 24/7 availability. And so we can start to think like, yeah, I'm a really good pastor only if I'm always available. And it's only after we crash and burn do we realize, like, oh, maybe there's something more important than that.
Yep. And I feel like that could be a whole episode in itself. So maybe we'll come back to that, because that's something I think a lot of people struggle with that. And I'd love to dive into that deeper. But just for the sake of time, another thing that you wrote about that I wanted to talk about was, you know, I've heard some people say, like, oh, maybe God's using this time to teach us a lesson, or we needed, you know, maybe there is something missing in American culture. Well, actually, the world culture. It's not just American culture. Right. But that God was kind of forcing us to take a break to reevaluate some things. And yeah, I don't know about you. I feel a little weird about saying something like that, because who are we to know God's intentions? And, you know, did he cause this, or did he let it happen? You know, I don't want to get into all that. But while those like declarations might be messy, it is true that some good things are happening. And I think you wrote specifically about how maybe this is a good time for us to refocus on some family time, Maybe who would have thought we would have had this time to invest in our kids in the middle of the school year? So talk to us a little bit about that. What can we do? How can we kind of capture this time to care for our families a little bit better?
Yeah. Yeah. And to your point, like, you know, I think that people can theologize this in any way they want. Right.
Right.
But on some level, there is just the reality that it is here. And so I'm a firm believer that every day and every person in our church and every, you know, dollar we have and every resource we have is a gift to be stewarded. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I look at this and go like, okay, so for whatever reason, how am I going to steward my day? And then again, that's not just COVID-19 question we should ask ourselves. That's an everyday question. Mm-hmm. We've already mentioned in our conversation, like, you know, can we use our days more toward prayerfulness and abiding? You know, I don't know about you. I don't know about everyone listening. I assume some folks are empty nesters or have kids, or maybe you have your aging parents living with you or that kind of stuff. But for me, some of the questions that we're asking are how do we make sure that our kids are being well schooled? And we send our kids to public schools. We have a sweet little neighborhood public school we walk to every morning. And we've always said, you know, we're still the primary disciplers and we need to own their education. We've realized over the last 3 weeks how not true that really is. We really have outsourced it. So we either need to like step up our game even when we're back and at least pay attention to what's going on, or we need to stop saying that, you know, we're owning our kids' education. We can still say we disciple them, but we either need to actually know what they're learning or stop saying that we know what they're learning.
Yeah.
Our kids, you know, just even this mornings have become sweet after a few weeks of trying to figure out what is this? How long is it going to last? Oh, school's canceled. Oh, we don't know what's happening in the fall.
Yeah.
Like all of that changed our mindset from like, hey, let's just push through for a couple of weeks into like, we got to establish some new normals. Mm-hmm. And so just, I mean, the sweetness of not having to rush them out the door by 7:30 to walk down to school that starts at 7:50, like we have some really sweet mornings. And again, this is all interrelated. This only works if I know like, okay, I'm going to start working at this time and stop at this time and still meet my hourly quota. And still, you know, serve again, quote, my people, well through the week. But intermixed within that is going, if I'm only serving those people, but not serving my own household well, then again, like there's a leadership qualification thing the Bible tells me, you know, if you can't serve your own household, what right do you have to serve the household of God? And so trying to prioritize the extra time, yes, making sure the body's cared for. Yes, making sure my own soul has time to connect with the Lord and with others and with friends, and even just taking time to laugh. I don't know if we're going to come back to that, so I'll just drop it in here. Like, let's just breathe every now and then and enjoy good food and drink and just find things that make us laugh. They're not inherent escapes that are ungodly. We're designed for joy. But similarly, how can I make sure that, you know, morning walks or bike rides and, you know, a little bit of a slower breakfast, how can I help with school? My wife works as well some, and so we're, you know, splitting school. She does by far the lion's share of it. But how can I step in and help and making use of evenings and the time around the newly established work schedule?
Yeah. So one thing... I read, I don't know if you're familiar with John Acuff. Do you follow him at all?
Yeah.
So he published a blog last week. He had a really thought-provoking thing about this whole season. I wonder if you could comment on. So he said something like, if you live in, you know, Colorado and you say you want to ski 8 hours a day, that's possible. Mm-hmm. If you live in, you're in Fort Worth, if you live in Fort Worth and say you want to ski 8 hours a day,
right,
that would be insane, right? Yeah. And so a lot of people right now in this season are saying, okay, I'm going to work for 8 hours today. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that might be possible. Mm-hmm. But for some people, that might not be possible right now. Like maybe they're a single parent who's trying to do school with their kids, or maybe they are, you know, there's all kinds of possibilities. So how would you say, how do we kind of give ourselves some permission to do our best in this crazy time? And how do we weigh that with also our responsibility to work hard? Have you thought about that at all?
Yeah. I've thought about it a little bit. It actually popped into my mind a second ago, because I was saying, you know, if you set your work hours, and I guess the caveat to that would be like, I mean, we do have a pastoral call. It is a vocation. It's not a, you know, clock in, clock out job. We know that.
Yeah.
We also, though, have a flexibility to our roles that, you know, for many, well, I guess I'll say this, for at least some days of many weeks, most of our congregation doesn't know what we're doing anyway. And we trend toward overwork or underwork. So by and large, we give that time when no one can see us to prepping sermons or, you know, visitation where one or two people see us, but the majority of the church can't, or, you know, this kind of stuff. And so the beauty is like, we have a flexibility about our vocation, and the hours we give, where it doesn't have to be a 8 to 5 or 9 to 6 or, you know, whatever else. It can be a little bit of a, like, get up early, do some admin kind of stuff, do some checking in with folks throughout the day. Take a little bit of time with morning and family. Maybe instead of having an evening off, or again, like at least after kids go to bed, or, you know, of course, work it out, however it works with your family or spouse or kids or parents or whatever else. But we have the ability to kind of break up our day in a way that a lot of roles don't. And frankly, some folks can be better served if we say, hey, for a couple nights of the week, I'm going to work from 8 to 10 and check in with folks after their kids go to bed. You know, cause they're still working some semblance of a 8 to 6, 8 to 5 job or something like that. So I do think like there's some flexibility that we can give ourselves, even the permission to be freer with our work hours, than we think we can. And then I think that, you know, to the specific point of giving yourself the freedom, I think, and this is kind of the last point of the blog, so I don't know if you're secretly leading me to say this, but one way or the other, like if we're really called to work for the Lord, then our daily vocation, our daily task is to say, God, what do you have for me today? And so there's part of our very job description that says keeping my soul healthy and keeping my family healthy, that's actually part of my job. That's not part of most people's jobs. And so if in a given day we need to give a little bit more time to make sure that our you know, spouses are not going crazy, or that our kids are actually doing what they need to do, you know, that's probably not a every day, now that's our morning kind of thing. But on some mornings, or for some moments, feeling the freedom to step out of our makeshift offices into the makeshift homeschool room.
Yeah.
Let's feel the freedom to do that. And if we know we have a really long day tomorrow, because maybe we're leading a couple of groups in the evening and have a leader meeting in the morning or whatever, great. If tomorrow's a 12-hour day, why don't we feel the freedom to make today a 6-hour day, or a 4-hour day? Again, being available as folks need us appropriately, but feeling a lot of flexibility. Because the point is, I don't know if you remember this, there was a lot of cheesy Christian phrases in the 90s, but one of them that I remember was like, we serve an audience of one. Uh-huh. And it was big in kind of the worship world, musical worship leaders. We have an audience of one. It's like, that's kind of cheesy, but it's also very, very biblically true. Like our work, God created work. Work is an act of worship. Even before the fall, work was part of how God designed us. And so, you know, just verses that talk about like, are we working as to the Lord, or are we working for the side of man? Are we working for the appeasement of people? Yeah. We're in a moment right now where we have no possibility of working for the appeasement of people, because by and large, human affirmation is virtually impossible. And so it's a gut check of going like, am I doing what God has called me to do today? Mm-hmm. Yes, with my people, yes, with my sermon prep, yes, with my, you know, communication and making sure people are cared for, but also yes, with my own soul and yes, with my family. And if we truly believe that we're working heartily for, as for the Lord and not for men, then this is a time when pastors get to have that gut check and kind of go, okay, is there freedom that I can have today because I'm serving an audience of one rather than the few dozen or few hundred or few thousand people in my church?
Yeah, that's really good. And actually, this is a good transition. I encourage you listening. Again, I'll post the link, but even if you just want to Google Leading Well, Even When No One Can See Us, that's how I found it. I just typed that in. It came up right away. So I encourage you to read that article. Ben, you did a great job of, it's full of scripture. You've backed yourself up really well with lots of verses. I thought it was a really well-written thing. So luckily, we're going to have another episode with you. So we'll continue the gospel fluency conversation here in on the next episode. But as we kind of wrap up today, you mentioned, and we've talked a little bit about how, like, there really is some good coming from this weird season that we're in.
Yeah.
So what, as we kind of close, what are some lessons that you hope really rise to the surface? Again, whether if someone works at a church or they don't, or they're a parent or they're not, or just kind of across the spectrum, what are some things that you hope kind of stick after this COVID season?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that the biggest thing, the first thing that comes to mind when you ask what I hope sticks is that we all realize what is truly essential and what is most important. And I think that's a theme that I'm hearing. I think that's even part of what feeds the question, how can I lead well when no one can see me? There's a lot that we do that we feel like we're producing or creating or serving or that kind of stuff. And when no one can see us, when those things get stripped away from us, we're left to ask the question, what really matters? And so I think on the personal level, what really matters on the familial and you know, normal life, friendship and mission, what really matters, but also on the level of ministry and discipleship and our leadership roles within our churches, what is truly essential? I think the ability to take from this season that lesson and go, what is really actually the call of God, the most essential things for discipleship and mission and ministry. My hope is that we can remember that. And then the other, and again, this is a transition to next week's podcast, but it's just that, like, Jesus is still better in this. And yeah, not to get too far in, but just like the good news of Jesus, his perfect life, his sacrificial death and his miraculous resurrection, his promised return, those things matter to our everyday lives. And that's true. And that gives us freedom and that gives us joy. That's what lets us rest well. It's what lets us have the freedom to Sabbath. And even in ministry, when we feel like we're weak, his gospel is what reminds us that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so what is essential and how can we remember that the gospel still applies to our everyday lives and ministry?
Yeah, that's good. And when you ask what is essential, just so we're on the same page, you're talking about toilet paper, right?
Yeah, toilet paper and flour. Apparently people are talking about there's going to be a flour shortage now. So yeah, if there's a way to spiritualize toilet paper and remember what essential is Jesus, flour and yeast, that's a little more biblical, but
there you go. I like it. Well, Ben, thanks again for writing that article. I encourage everyone to read it, and thanks for your time today. We're wrapping up here right now, but again, like Ben and I have been talking about, we're going to actually continue this conversation on the next episode. So hang on and be sure to join us again next time when Ben will talk more about gospel fluency. But until then, Ben, thanks for your time today, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. See you next time.
For 100 years, MCC has followed the biblical call to bring relief to people in need, providing emergency supplies in times of crisis. Today, MCC can respond through partnerships with churches and local partners in 53 countries. Please pray for MCC. To learn more about MCC's responses to COVID-19 and find resources for congregations and families, visit mcc.org.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Ben as much as I did. And as you could probably tell from my voice a couple times, there were just a few things I felt a little convicted about that I probably need to work on, especially during this season. So I hope that was helpful to you and that you enjoyed it. And again, as we mentioned several times, the good news is we've got more from Ben coming up next time on the USMB Lead Pod. So make sure you come back again next time for more of Ben when we talk more about gospel fluency. And we got into that just a little bit, but we'll dive much deeper next time. So again, I want to encourage you wherever you are today, no matter what your state currently looks like in this COVID season, I encourage you just to keep hanging in there. And hopefully there's a light at the end of the tunnel here soon, where we can get to some sense of normal again and go back to church and all those things that we're all looking forward to. But until then, I encourage you to listen to Ben's words here and to lead well, whatever your current reality looks like. And just remember that the USMB family is here. We're praying for you, and we're going to get through this together. So thanks again so much for listening. I hope you continue to enjoy this new podcast. And hey, if you're enjoying it, I encourage you to share this with some friends. Maybe you could post a link on Facebook or Twitter, or do something the old-fashioned way and just tell some friends whenever you can be in the same room with them again. Text a link or whatever, but help us spread the word as we continue to grow this new show. And I hope it continues to be something that you enjoy and that is also helpful as we all continue to work on our leadership and on our spiritual growth. So again, hang in there, have a great rest of your week, and I will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Lead Pods. Make sure you don't miss an episode by subscribing to our show wherever you're listening today. Learn more by visiting usmb.org, and be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We'll see you next time as we learn more practical tools to increase our impact together.